Okay, we're in Perek Tes and Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, continuing of these halachas that apply to which foods and what situations they're able to acquire tuma. So let's say you have a situation of honey or oil. Let's say it becomes tame, and let's say they become they coagulate and become solid, and then they go back to being liquid. They're still considered first level derivative tuma forever, because they're considered like liquids, even if they become solid after they become tame. So when I have, let's say, sauce or grease and like grit type things or milk, let's say these congealed. Now these things are considered food, and therefore they require intents to become tame. And therefore, if a first level tuma food touches them, so then or a liquid, they become second level. But let's say there was a moist liquid on top of them, then they're considered still like liquids, and therefore they are able to be primary derivatives for tuma. Let's say they became tame while they were liquids, and then they froze, and then they became solid. They're considered to be second derivative tuma. Let's say they became tame when what they called they were solid, and then they melted. And then they became liquid. So if they were the size of an egg or less, then the liquids are considered tar. But if it's greater than an egg size, the liquids are tame. And this is going to be important. When the first drop melted, nitmes mikabetsa ochal tame shini mucha mimenu, but osa hatipa titma kol mashin shini mucha acharya. So once that first drop melts, so then it becomes tame from the betsa size ochal that it is melted from, and now that drop will now be able to impart tuma to everything that melts afterwards. V'chein tame me shesachat zisim v'navim shehoch shuru. Right. So let's say you have a case of a person who touched a dead body, and therefore he's tame. So he squeezes a big group of, let's say, olives or grapes when those are susceptible to tuma. Okay. So if it's a kibetza size, then the liquids that come out are tahor. As long as it doesn't touch the actual place of the liquid. Because we say the liquids are, what it called, are really separate from the food, so to speak. We treat the liquids as a completely different entity from these solids. But let's say the olives or the grapes are greater than the egg size. Liquids that come out of tame, because once that first drop comes out, then we say it becomes tame through a beta size, and therefore all the liquids become tame. Let's say the person squeezing the grapes was a zub or zaba, meaning that type of tuma. Even if they squeeze out one grape, shelo hokshar, that wasn't susceptible to tuma, lo naga b'mashke, and they don't even touch the liquid, hamashke tame, the liquid is tame, shekeim eshe yatsas tika rishona, because once that first drop comes out, nitmeis b'masa hazav, shehazav nas shenasa okun b'mashke tmeyan k'mosh b'yanu. So we say it becomes tame through the carrying by the zav, and if a zav carries either through the drink, they're tame, that's the halacha. Chin zav she chalav es eiz, let's say a zav goes ahead and milks a goat, the milk that comes out of tame, shekemesh yasas tipa rishana, because once that first drop comes out, nitmeis masa hazav, it becomes tame through the act of carrying by the zav. So let's say there is a pot that's filled up with vegetables that are pickling that are not kodesh, v'yatzuleim chutz l'kedera, and let's say what do you call it, the leaves of these vegetables stick outside the pot. Let's say someone who's a primary or first derivative of tuma touches the leaf that's outside of the pot in a dry place. Even though there is a beitza, an egg size in the leaf, he's tame, and everything else is tall. Let's say the leaf is returned back into the pot. All the liquids inside the tame, the nitme sakadera, and therefore the pot and everything inside is tame. Naga ba'ala shechutz l'kedera. Let's say he touches the leaf that's outside the kedera. V'haya b'mashke. And let's say there is liquid on it. Im yesh ba'ala kebeitza. So if there is a egg size on the bait on the leaf, hakol tame. Everything's tame. Sha'ala metame mashke sha'ala. Because the leaf makes the liquid that's on it tame. V'mashke metame kol mashke shebedera. Now liquid that is tame imparts tumah to all the other liquids that are in the pot, and the tame is gdera, and that makes the pot itself also tame. Now, let's say the pot is filled with truma vegetables that are pickling. Let's say someone who went to the mikveh that day but is not completely tar yet stirs the pot. And he sees there's liquids on his hand. So he's not sure, did the liquid spray out from the pot itself? Or is it that maybe a part of the vegetable touched his hand? So we say the vegetable is disqualified, where while the pot itself is still considered tahor. Let's say someone whose tame is eating grapes that are mukshar, that are, what do you call it, susceptible to tumah. And let's say one grape, what do you call it, falls into the press. If it's whole, and let's say the stem has not been removed from it, the press is still considered to be tahor. But let's say the stem was removed. And let's say, what do you call it? The grapes are ready to be prepared, to be crushed. That he wants a liquid. Now the press becomes tameh. Even from the first drop that comes out of that grape at the point of the stem. Let's say grapes fall. And let's say he crushes them in an open area. If it's an egg size or less. Then what do you call it? All the liquids that come out are considered tam. How but if it's greater than egg size, tame. Why? Again, when that first drop comes out, nitmeis mekabetsa, so then it becomes tame through its egg size, and tamis is called mashke yotzacharev. And therefore it makes all the liquid that comes out afterwards tame. So hey, gush, let's say I have a big pile of olives that are tame, shahaya mekuba to mechubar. Let's say they're pressed together as one, bishlichu letocha tanor. And you throw it into the oven, the husak, and they burn. Okay, tanor v'husak. It is thrown into an oven that was on fire. Okay, meaning it's hot. Okay, let's say it's a beitza or less. Hatanor tahor. The tanor remain. The oven remains tahor. She'ina oklam mitam and kelim. The food does not produce tumah in two vessels. However, mamashka yotzman tahor, and the liquid that comes out is also tahor k'moshem yam. Now, hayya gush yes from a kabeitza. If this pile of tame olives is greater than an egg size. Nitzma hatanor, now the oven becomes tameh. Shekeshi yatsa tipa achas nemetzkabetsa betimetz tanor. Because once that first drop comes out, and that's what do you call it? It's coming from the betsa, so to speak, and therefore makes the tanor tameh. The vigachim mazis and tameh piruin. That's why if the olives that are tameh are what do you call separated out, then on gush, not a pile. Afilahim mea, if there are 100, hatanor, the tanor would still remain tahor. Alachavav, eitzim shenivlu behem mashkin. Let's say wood absorbs liquids that are tame, the hisikon hatanor, and then I use them as wood kindling for the oven. Tar shari butlo beitzim. We say it's tar because it's, so to speak, nullified against the fact that it's wood. Afilu hotzi ha'etzim shenafalin b'shamim. Even if I go ahead and took wood out so that rain would fall on it, v'nafalu ritzono, v'hisikon hatanor tar. And then, what do you call it? And because it's better for it, and then he wants to use it as kindling for the oven. The oven's tar. Ve'ina mayim shalem is tamen min mashken abelum mehem. And the water that's on it does not become tamen. Lo yisikam elo b'yadayim tahoros. But in general, you should not use the wood for kindling unless your hands are pure. Zeir shalem yisikim atame to prevent this from a person's tame from doing this. Ve'nimsa mashken shalem atame tahor. Because if someone tame did it and his liquid's on top of the wood, so that could possibly make the tanor tame. Lachazayim shar shenimsa b'reichan shal zeisim. Let's say I find a sheretz that's dead inside an olive, a place where they process olives, a lava factory. Ain't tamei ela makom agal. So it's only the place of touching that's tamei. Ima yamashke mahalech hakol tamei. But if there is liquid that's flowing out, then everything's tamei. Shekemish into a mix, the mix us a mashke and it's makulo. Because once a little bit of the liquid is tamei, then the whole thing's tamei. Hashem and tamei is called zesim, and the olive makes all the oil makes all the olives tamei. Nimsa al gabe ha'alon l'malam min hazeisim. Let's say you find the sheretz on top of the leaves that are above the olives. Yishalim min avdadim. So you have to ask the workers there. Im amru l'mnaganu n'emanim. As long as they say they didn't touch it, we believe them. Nimsa al om shal zeisim. Let's say you find it on a mass of olives that have been like pushed together. Nitzma kol gush k'mosh b'yano. The entire pile becomes tam. Nimsa al gabe zeisim piruin. Let's say you find the sheretz on separated olives. V'nogeh b'kabetza. And what do you call it? It's touching that amount that the amount that we're talking about is beta size. A kol tame. Why? Sha'ocha shukabetza mitame hamashkem lur bahen. tum, because once I have an egg size of food, it makes all the liquid that's mixed upon it to be tame. The mashkim et tame shar zesim, and then that liquid now makes the other olives tame. How you piruin agave piruin? Let's say there are separate olives piled on top of other separated olives, a mashkim ilamata, and the liquids below. Al pishinaga begebetza, even if it touches a gebetza size, ain't tame elamakam ago. It's not tame except for the place that it touched. Alaches. Let's say a person who is not very sophisticated in halacha, someone who's ignorant, sticks his hand into a wine press, vinaga ba'ashklos, and he touches the clusters of grapes. Eshkol v'kolzigosot tamein, so that cluster and all the ones around them are tamei, v'gaskul tara, but the press remains tahor. Neshimasikan eshkol shashvivozea eshkol beno ben chargas, because what we say is that there's a separation between the clusters that he touched and the rest of the press itself. That's a gepes v'azagim shenasu v'tara. So let's say, what do you call it? We have the leftover items that come from the olives and the grapes and the presses, shinasu batara, that I made them in tar, the alcohol lay in tmein. And let's say, what do you call it? Afterwards, the people who walked over them were tamei, bakraf yatsum and mashkin, and then liquids came out. Areyo tar, and these are tar, shemitchil nasu batara. Because at the beginning, remember, we're talking about the waste. So at the beginning, since it was done with tahara, it stays as tahara. However, if they walked on it initially, meaning they made the wine or the oil initially in state of tuma, and then the liquids come out after the waste product, and there's still more liquid that's coming out, that's still considered to be tuma. Let's say there are workers who are dealing with the wine press, the olive press, let's say, and they come in and out, and there is tummy liquid on the floor. If there's enough space between the liquids and the olives, so they can actually dry their feet on the ground between them, the olives remain tahor. Because someone who touches impure liquids, that doesn't have that his hands are not tahor, is okay. Kikaros hektesh hayu behen gumos. Let's say I have loaves of bread that are consecrated for the mikdash, and they have holes inside them. And inside those hollow spaces are liquids that are consecrated for the mikdash. And now a sheretz touches one of them. And let's say the first loaf touches a second loaf, second and third. All them are considered to be first derivative tumah. Because of the liquid that in the spaces and the love of the base of mikdash of the that's which is consecrated, they're all considered to be liquids where we don't count derivatives. But let's say the loaves of truma, only the third loaf would be considered pasul. After that point, any other bread that's touched would be katar. Let's say it's liquid that is on top of all the loaves. After truma, even in the case of truma, called tmeya, it's all tmeya, the kulon. Shnios, they're all second derivative of tumah, except for the one that the sharetz actually touched, because that's considered first derivative of tumah. Finally, lachid aleph, avabua naseb obe chavis. So let's say there's a bubble that's made in the side of a barrel of wine, varihu kumi kli kmo kli acher betzida, and it's considered like another container at its side. Imnakab avabua la'avir. So when the bubble is poked through to the inner part of the barrel, the nakav nekev acher lechutz. And then there's another one made on the outside, zek and egg zeh, one, to the other. Osha nekev apnimi milmata, let's say the inner hole is lower. V'achitza mamal, the outer one is higher. V'haya v'avua v'chavis malei mashkin, let's say the bubble and the barrel are filled with liquid. Inaga avatuma mashke shavavuos. So if someone whose primary level tuma touches the liquid that's in the bubble, mitzmu kol mashkin shavavavis, then all the liquids inside the barrel are tame. Haisa chavis mukafet samim pasil, but let's say the barrel is sealed. The nesuna ba'ol ames, and it's put inside a house with a dead body inside. Nitmes mibnei hanekev shavavua. So then it becomes tame because of the hole in the bubble. Zeh sharehu mefula shalavira. Because what we say is that it reaches into the inner space. V'chenimai hanekev shavavua shemefnei mamala. Let's say the hole in the bubble is on the inside's higher. V'chitza lamata, and the one outside's lower. Then I raise that in and itself as some puzzle. It doesn't help to have it sealed. However, if someone whose primary level tuma touches the bubble, however, we don't say that the liquids in the barrel are tummy in this instance, because he's considered to be separate from the liquids that are inside the barrel. That ends Parak Tes, and we will continue with Parak Yod tomorrow.